It must be a dirty word because people are avoiding using it. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Gives a whole new meaning to the phrase, talk dirty to me.
We won't go into that. But it does seem, though, Charles, that there's a certain word out there in today's environment that people are studiously avoiding utilizing when it comes to describing certain individuals. No, we're not talking about the N-word or any other pejorative words. We're actually talking about a moniker that would be very descriptive, Charles, if it's used correctly. And it's used to point out certain tendencies or certain actions of some of our political elite. And that's part of the reason why those political elites and the mainstream media, which helps them to feed, are avoiding using it like the plague. Charles, you and I both know that that word is socialist.
Socialism.
Socialism or socialist. You see, yep. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear that word being derided as much as it would if somebody uttered an expletive or derogatory word against somebody, say somebody of color or somebody who's of an ethnic background. In reality, what we're saying is that the word socialist needs to be used, especially in today's political environment, because it is an accurate descriptor of what is going on in our country right this minute.
Well, it absolutely is. It's really amazing the lengths that people will go to say, socialism? No, no, no. Look over there. There's Halley's Comet. And yet when you don't look at Halley's Comet and continue to look at the subject, you'll find out that what is being said is, no, 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 that's not socialist, is socialist.
Yes, well, it's the don't confuse me with the facts. I have my mind made up already on the definition, and that's not it.
Well, that's it, Barry. This is sociopolitical sleight of hand, and this is the magician doing things with his hands we're not supposed to see, so he's diverting attention away from the facts. And the fact is that socialism has a definition, and anyone who wants to use the power of government to confiscate wealth, the purpose of redistribution, is a socialist.
Well, Charles, under that definition, the vast majority of presidents and congresses would be socialists.
Well, at least since the turn of the 20th century.
No, that's true. That's true. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why we're talking about this today is because there was an article this week in the Columbus Dispatch, the newspaper of record of Central Ohio, by David Crary, who is a national writer for the Associated Press. And it's titled, Obama a Socialist? Many scoff, but claim persists. Now, Chuck, I just love how newspapers use headlines to set up what they want you to believe. Now, it's interesting. You know, many scoff. Okay, so in other words, a lot of people out there think that this is crazy. And then claim persists, as in like it's a disease that just keeps hanging on and on and on. And so there's this whole mentality, even from the tagger, the headline, that if you use the term socialist in relation to our current occupant of the White House, then you are part of the fringe.
Okay.
You're part of that radical element out there who's basically not quite all with it.
Change the headline to Loch Ness Monster. Many scoff, but claim persists.
Uh-huh, exactly.
And that's exactly what you're looking at. Exactly how I read that headline. This is an attempt to belittle those who would posit that President Obama, or any other politician for that matter. I mean, we've got an article here that we looked at just before we came on to do the taping that talks about Mitt Romney's RomneyCare in Massachusetts and talks about the individual mandate. Ladies and gentlemen, the individual mandate, which is a requirement that you would buy health insurance, otherwise you are fined by the government, is socialist.
Is socialism working out in the general economy?
And the quote in the article,
government deciding what you are and aren't supposed to do with your life.
And the quote in the article says, then Governor Romney said it was needed to keep quote-unquote free riders away. If government is going to take over paying for health care, which is essentially what's going on in Massachusetts, it's not quite that. The way it works is insurance companies are required to provide insurance, and if they can't, then there's a fine that's paid, and you're covered anyway. that makes it socialist. Sorry, folks.
Well,
the fact that there are private companies involved, all that does is lend an element of fascism, which is a form of socialism, to it.
Well, you were getting at what I'm just about to hit on next, because Mr. Crary's article, Charles, is full of these false things. Starts off talking about this whole idea that conservatives were quick to pounce and call him a socialist for his new campaign slogan. But then he says, use of socialist as a political epithet. See, he's already using it as almost like it's a curse word, a political epithet. Socialist dates in the U.S. back to pre-Civil War days. He says, in the 20th century, many elements of Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal, including Social Security, were denounced as socialist. So was Medicare when it was created in the 1960s. Mr. Crary may have missed something there, but those programs are socialist. In the definition of the term, those programs which are redistributing people's tax dollars to other people, because let's all be quite honest about it, folks. I don't care how long you've been in the system and how much you've paid in, you are going to draw out more than you paid in both Social Security and Medicare.
Which is the whole Ponzi scheme, socialist scheme of the whole system, which is why it's collapsing. Because it requires a pyramid, Barry, and that means that it requires that the base of the pyramid, that is the people paying into the system, is more than the people drawing out of the system. And right now we're going through a bulge in the population. In other words, we suddenly have more people drawing from the system than we have putting into it, which is a danger that you always face in a quote-unquote free socialist society. You always get people who say, hey, look, I don't have to work. I could draw from the system and I don't really have to do anything. This is the danger that we face from socialism, and it's been proven over and over and over again on the micro scale, and people just can't quite grasp it. It also leaks out to the macro scale as well.
Absolutely. But here's where media starts trying to do what I call a whitewash on the idea of socialism, because Crary slips in here. He says, well, to many historians and political scientists, and to actual socialists as well, the persistent claim that Obama's a socialist lacks credence. Really? All you have to do is take a look at Obama's policies that have been put forth and say pretty much that those are socialist policies. But he goes on to try to paint this picture, Chuck. He says that Obama is widely seen as a pragmatist within the Democratic Party mainstream, who's had ample success raising campaign funds from wealthy Wall Street capitalists. None of that is any kind of delimiter or disqualifier for Obama actually being a socialist.
No, absolutely not, Barry. In fact, this is one of those circular arguments. What he's claiming is that because Obama didn't come in and take over the system completely and start nationalizing companies, he's not a socialist. No, he's a politician who knows that he can't get away with that in this country because people don't like socialism here.
You can't get away from it right now, but what he did do is gave bailouts to the automobile manufacturers. We did stimulus grants to hand-picked segments of the economy, such as alternative energy, banking, and others.
Automobile.
Yeah, exactly. So what you are doing is a soft form of socialism, but it's still socialism, where the government is using our tax dollars to influence the markets and to pick winners and losers by handing benefits out to companies to promote government-endorsed or government-preferred outcomes.
Let's take another look here at why this article is a falsehood. He uses a pejorative against those who called Horace Greeley a socialist. Those who opposed radical abolitionism branded Horace Greeley a socialist. Guess who else branded Horace Greeley a socialist? Horace Greeley did.
Yeah, himself, yes.
Horace Greeley was a socialist. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt that Roosevelt was a socialist, and there's no doubt that Obama is a socialist. And unfortunately, there's no doubt that Mitt Romney is also a socialist. We don't throw these around as pejoratives to embarrass people. Facts are facts. Words have meanings. These people want to confiscate and redistribute wealth using the power of government. That is socialism. I don't know how else to get around it.
You can't.
This mud wrestling with the meaning of word is so postmodern, it's almost painful. This is what happens when postmodernity meets its absolute fact. It dashes itself to pieces against the rock. When you start to look at what things mean, then all this argumentation means nothing.
But that's the whole point, though, Charles, because this is the type of material that gets put out into the regular news organs, such as the Columbus Dispatch, in order to influence people. And actually, this is an inoculation piece, Chuck. This is a piece that's out there hoping that people will read it. And then when they start hearing the word socialist, they'll start saying, well, that's just not really socialist. Yeah, that article said what socialism really was, and this isn't anything like it. The point is that the AP writer, Mr. Crary, is cherry-picking his definitions in order to get around the fact that what is happening in this country, the policies that are being put forth by the Obama administration, are rank socialist. It's just that we have had so many socialist-like policies from previous administrations, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, I mean Republicans as well, going back for decades, that it's hard to see what the differential really is. But the differential is definitely there, Charles, in that in the past, you might have had just some incipient socialistic tendencies of, well, let's just expand government, we're going to help more people in government, or we're going to extend the number of people who can qualify for benefits from government, to now an administration that's coming out and saying, we're going to choose who wins and who loses here. We're going to tell you what is and isn't right. We're going to pick which laws we'll defend and which ones we won't defend in relation to marriage, right, specifically. Yeah. That's full-blown socialism, Charles. The only thing we don't have right now is a coterie of a paramilitary forces that are out there informing and enforcing to the general public the policies of the administration. But you and I both know from other sources that we've read that that may not be far afield.
Well, now, wait a minute, Barry. I'm going to disagree with you. And if you'll recall, in the mid-90s, there was a big deal made about 100,000 new cops. Do you remember all that stuff?
About 100,000? Yeah, that's right.
Okay, who were those 100,000 new cops?
Nobody knows, because I don't think the
police... I know who they are. They were government agencies who did not have police powers, had to work through local police agencies in order to make an arrest, who were suddenly given police powers and allowed to carry guns and badges so they could make arrests and do enforcement and go around local law enforcement, because local law enforcement very often would step in and say, no, this is a constitutional violation. So we do have that coterie of paramilitary operatives. It's 100,000 new cops who are all federal agents.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that, because I think you're absolutely right.
There are two things I want to get at here. This one kind of made me laugh. This is a good baloney detector article insofar as it has a lot of red herrings in it. Here we find out that the author says one tidbit they might learn, people who have researched socialism. One, the Pledge of Allegiance, the epitome of American patriotism, was written in 1892 by a socialist clergyman, Francis Bellamy. Well, Barry, I think you and I both knew that.
Yes, we did.
First of all, the pledge that Edward Bellamy wrote is significantly different than the pledge as it currently stands. Yes, Edward Bellamy was a self-proclaimed socialist. He did write it, although I don't think the Pledge of Allegiance, especially the one he wrote, was the epitome of American patriotism. It has undergone some rather significant changes. For instance, One Nation Under God, the changeover from the language so that Pledge of Allegiance to the flag instead of my flag. It's been made a little bit less nationalistic rather than patriotic. The original Pledge of Allegiance, as we've described here in the past, jingoistic.
Yes.
It has been changed significantly. There's also a thing in here where it says, when the 2012 Republican presidential campaign was still competitive, three of the leading candidates, Rick Perry, Newt Gingrich, and Michelle Bachmann, depicted Obama as a socialist. Mitt Romney, the eventual winner, declined to go that far. Now, gee, in light of the article that we talked about in the Salt Lake Tribune, where I talk about Mitt Romney's Romneycare, do you think maybe Mitt Romney was worried about getting tarred by the same brush?
Possibly so, yes.
And now it says, well, I haven't used that word so far, but I do agree that the president's approach is government heavy and government intensive, and it's not working. Well, does it work in Massachusetts? Not according to them. The costs have shot up astronomically. The one other point I wanted to make, Barry, was that in an attempt to fend off an attack on Obama being a socialist, a Republican is interviewed here. It's Stephen Hayward, a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and author of a 2-volume biography of Ronald Reagan, just so you'll know that he should know about socialism. Said Obama is not a socialist under the strict definition of that term, central economic planning and government control of production. Quote, however, socialism has a secondary meaning that is harder to explain. Government regulations, supervision of the private economy, Hayward said. Well, now, wait a minute. Is not government regulation and supervision of the private economy the same thing as central economic planning and government control of production?
It is, and its thing is, Chuck, it's incrementalist control. What our author here is trying to say, and I think what Hayward is also trying to say, is, well, since he didn't just come in and flat out change everything overnight and turn us into a socialist state where the government just came in and shut down all private industry and said it's all coming through us, he's doing it slowly but surely. We're going to have more EPA regulations on what you can and can't do on your own farms. We talked about the use of drones to surveil, and right now the EPA is actually using it to surveil farms to see if they're complying with the Clean Water Act. Now, and that's because of effluent runoff from cattle operations into creeks and streams, but that's the type of thing, that's government oversight and intrusion. which would be central economic planning and government control.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Chuck, this isn't the first time we've had that. I mean, we can go all the way back to various things, workforce development and No Child Left Behind and other things where the government comes in and tries to direct where people go, what they learn, what jobs they'll go into, how they're going to, quote unquote, become productive citizens. These are all incipient hat tips to socialists.
Sure they are. I just looked at the clock.
And it's time, isn't it?
Join us tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.